Let me just read again to you the story, what actually happened to Jesus and this man. Matthew 8, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Well, I wonder, children, whether your parents have got different voices. Has anyone's mum's got a posh telephone voice? Hello, speaking? Something like that. Maybe you know your parents' cross voice. "What are you doing?" Something like that. Or the voice of authority. "Come here." Sometimes actually when you drop your voice, it can be quite scary, can't it? "Come here." And you know it might be really serious because you know your parents are sort of holding themselves back from being really cross because it's something very serious that you've done. We're going to think this morning about the voices of Jesus. Two particular things about the voices of Jesus, because Jesus speaks, and it's not so much about the way he speaks, but about the words he uses. So we're going to think about the voice of love that says, "I'm willing," and the voice of power that says, "Be clean." So the voice of love and the voice of power. Let's think about the voice of love. I wonder if there are things that you children would like, actually adults too, would like to touch and to stroke. Any examples before I show you some pictures? Anything you might like to touch, might be quite nice to touch it. Yes? A kitten. Ah, did you see that one come up? Yeah. It's a nice fluffy kitten. I hate cats, so I wouldn't like to touch it at all. But even that kind of cat almost might lead me, particularly if it was stuffed, almost might lead me to stroke it. Yes? Your dog. Actually, your dog is a very nice dog. Saw it the other night. So there could be, you might want to touch, you might want to stroke a puppy, as long as he's not biting you too much. What kind of dog is that? Anyone know, adults? Is it a beagle? Good. There might be sort of textures that you like. I thought this picture was very interesting, because when I first looked at it, well, what does that thing on the floor look like? What did someone say down there? A tree trunk. Yeah, it looks like a slice of a tree trunk. And I thought, what a brilliant thing if you could get a slice of a tree trunk in your house and sit on it. It's actually just made of, you know, material, wool or something. But it looks rather cool. And I bet it's really interesting to touch it and all the other different surfaces. Sometimes we just like stroking things. I know some people who like cold brick walls. Anyone like cold walls to lean up against when you're trying to get to sleep? Yes. Okay, it's only Caroline. I think her sisters do as well, so there's three people in the world. But I couldn't get a picture of a cold brick wall, so I gave up on that. Some people like touching these kind of things. Do the children in this consumer age know what this is? Yes? Yes, Annabelle. It's an iPad, yes. So yeah, it's a cool. And this is one I don't think anyone's touched yet. I think this is the next iPad coming out with funky little 3D little images on it. So I don't think anyone's touched that yet. So those are nice things to touch. Has anyone been to like the Sea Life Centre in Brighton and you get to touch these things? Anyone know what they are? Yes? Sorry? No, it's not an eel. Anybody else? It's a stingray or it's a ray of some sort, yeah. And often at the Sea Life Centre down in Brighton or the other branches of it, you can go and they get you to sort of touch the top of that because it's quite smooth. Not sure whether I like it. Do you like touching those sort of things? Not sure, really. Quite smooth, but a little bit at the same time. All different things that we might like to touch. I don't know whether you'd like to touch this next one. It's a polar bear. Cub. So maybe you would, but even though it's a cub, maybe it might bite your hand off. while you're stroking it. But it does look rather fluffy and nice, doesn't it? Sometimes there are reasons that we might not want to touch things. Can you think of some examples of things that we wouldn't want to touch? Yes? Sorry? Do you know, I've got a picture of a snake. But that's the next one. There we go. A snake. So we might not want to touch a snake. Why, children, might we not want to touch a snake? Because it's slimy. Yes, that's a good reason why you might not want to. Yes, Eleanor? It could bite you. There's at least one kind of snake in this country that might bite you and do you some harm, an adder, a viper. So might want to touch, not want to touch a snake. Did anyone see, sneakily, the first picture? Things you might not want to touch, yes? Yeah, wet paint. Thought it was a rather funky picture, but anyway. Wet paint on a wall somewhere, on some railings. You might not want to touch wet paint. Or actually, you might want to touch it, just to be naughty. But wet paint you might not want to touch. Snakes. Yes, spiders. Now, who can pick up spiders? Oh, lots of you. You're welcome around my house anytime. Actually, Caroline can pick up spiders. I can pick them up by the leg, one leg, but that's about it. Anything more than that, I can't do. And they tend to fall off as well. Shame. I have trouble picking them up when they're dead, even. Daddy long legs also quite difficult. But that's probably a dangerous spider. So I don't think you'd want to pick that one up. Other things you might not want to touch. What's that? It's a what? It's a cooker, yeah. It's one of the burners on the cooker. That's a gas one or electric one. So you wouldn't want to touch that because you might get what? You might get burnt. So you don't want to touch that. Here's a massive pot at a fire somewhere. This is how we eat most evenings in our house, out in the back garden. So there's the fire you don't want to touch. There's the big pot that you don't want to touch because you might get burnt from that. Oh, got a couple more. Don't know whether you would or you wouldn't want to touch that. I don't even know what to call that. Gooey stuff, slime. Green slime. There's probably a recipe for it. I'm sure Jessica Hargreaves knows how to make it. And then this is sludge. Adults, I could have got many worse pictures. But this is sludge, which is not sewage. Comes from a car. It's sort of oiled sludge. And I don't think you'd want to touch that because it would be oily and dirty and black and you'd have to wash your hands for a week to get them cleaned afterwards. So there's lots of things that you might not want to touch. Sometimes just because you don't like it, and sometimes for really good reasons, because you might get hurt or you might get harmed by touching them. The man who came to Jesus, he had leprosy, which is a word which might be leprosy like we know it today in the world, or it might be just something wrong with his skin that made him very infectious and made him very ill. It was very easy for other people to catch what he had and to get ill themselves. And it made him very ill that his skin was getting worse and worse and getting more poorly and more poorly. And it was hurting him and it was making him very lonely. He would be sent away from his town and from his family and wouldn't be able to worship God with other people, all because of this illness. And there wasn't a cure for this illness. Even today, there are things that you can't be cured from. And then, when Jesus saw this man, there was no way that he would have got better. There was nothing he could take or nothing he could do that would make him better. So when he thought about his life in the future, all he could think about was being lonely and getting more and more ill. He would have got worse and worse and died much younger than other people. But he comes to Jesus, and as we read and thought about a couple of times to get it in our heads, he says, if you want to, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That is great. He comes to Jesus and he completely believes that Jesus could heal him. Completely believes that. Doesn't have any doubts about that. But the big question for him was not so much could Jesus heal him, but the question for him was, would Jesus heal him? Was Jesus willing to heal him? It was a good question. It was a great question, actually. It was the best question. But it was a big question for him. And we know what happened. But you could imagine, if you were there, the silence, the moment where he said this. He kneels down before Jesus and he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And then there's a pause. What is Jesus going to do? Is he willing? Does he want to help this man? And Jesus does something that would really have shocked all the people around him. Much worse than touching sludge or anything else. Touching this man was an amazing thing to do. He reaches out and he touches the leper. No one would have expected him to do that. No one would have wanted him to do that, really. Most people would have thought this was a stupid and probably a sinful thing to do, to touch this man. It wouldn't feel nice, and it's probably dangerous, because Jesus might catch it from him. But Jesus says, "I am willing. I want to help you." And it's a great story to tell us that Jesus is willing to help us. It tells us about Jesus' voice of love, because he's willing to touch the leper, something that none of us really would want to, someone that no one would really want to touch. And he says that he is willing to touch the leper, he's willing to help the leper, and he's willing to help us. Because the leper is very like us. We think he's not much like us because we haven't got that kind of skin disease. But the leper is very much like us. Because we've got an illness that's really serious. And it means we can't praise God properly. And it means we can't be friends with other people properly. And it's an incurable illness. And it gets worse and worse. And it will overwhelm us, just like leprosy. And our illness, sometimes we use the word sin, but that might not mean something to everybody here. Our illness is that we don't want God to be in charge of our lives. That's our illness. And that illness cuts us off from God, separates us from God, so we can't worship him properly. And it actually cuts us off from each other. It's the reason why every single bad thing happens in the world is because of this illness. And it's an incurable illness. But the great thing about this story is that Jesus is saying, for people who've got this incurable illness that all of us have got, Jesus says, "I am willing to help you. I am absolutely willing to help you. I'm willing to connect with your experience. I'm willing to do something about it. I'm willing to absorb your illness and to take it away from you. I'm willing to help." When we shout at our parents, when we touch things we're not supposed to touch, when we disobey, when we want things that are not ours, when we tell lies, when we take things, when we want God to work for us, when we don't want to worship God, when we don't want God to be the boss, when we don't want to love in the way that God wants us to love, when we don't want to serve others when God wants us to serve others, when we don't want to spend time with God, we're showing we've got this illness. That's our sin. But Jesus shows that he's willing to touch our illness and to do something about it. And he breaks through all the barriers. He says that he wants to be friends. Maybe some of you children and probably some of you adults think, "I don't know what he's going on about, because that's not such a big deal, really. You know, who wouldn't want to be friends with me? I'm doing my best. I'm not really a bad person. Who wouldn't want to be friends with me? Surely God wants to be friends with me." But I tell you, it is a really big deal that Jesus wants to be friends with you. because your illness is worse than you think, and it is incurable, and it does separate you from God. And sometimes God needs to show us that we're ill. This leper had already figured out that he was ill. He realized he was ill. Sometimes we need God to show us that we're ill. And he does. But maybe this morning you think, I don't really fit in this church because I'm not a very good person. I am a bit of a sick person. I am a bit of an ill person. It's a great story for you, because it shows that Jesus loves sick and ill people. He breaks down the barriers and says, I love you, I can help you if you're willing to follow me. What a great story for children and adults that says Jesus speaks with the voice of love. He's willing to help us. Maybe if you feel like you're one of the untouchables, he's willing to help us. And of course, it's a great example for us Christians, isn't it? That Jesus breaks down all barriers and shows that he loves people. So we thought about the voice of love, but secondly, for a few minutes, let's think about the voice of power. Jesus is able to make you clean. We might want lots of good things to happen, mightn't we? We might want our team to win. Some people's team did win yesterday. We might want somebody's team won this morning, I think. But who are the United States anyway? But we might want the sun to shine. We might want a good night's sleep, or we might wish for good things for other people. We might wish that our dad gets a brand new red car. We might wish that very much. Anybody wish that for their dads? Maybe a blue car. We might wish that our parents get a good night's sleep. Might want to help them get a good night's sleep in some way. But sometimes we can't get what we want. We can't get for ourselves what we want. We can't get it for other people. See, there's a difference between being willing to do something, wanting to do something, and being able to do something. Now, I need a volunteer, a sort of a strong young man amongst this little group here. Do you think you're a strong young man, Samuel? Do you want to volunteer to help? Now, Samuel is very willing to help. If you want to come out here, that's really cool. And he's willing. Now, are you willing to help me? Yes. Just say yes. Makes it work better. Yes. He's willing to help me. He's absolutely willing to help me. And you're reasonably strong, aren't you? Just show us your muscles for a sec. Okay? Let me just feel. Yeah. Now, tense. You've got tense. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're there. So, Samuel is pretty strong, and he's willing to help. And I'm just going to ask him to do something really simple. I'm just going to ask him to just pick somebody up for a minute. Okay? Now, I've thought about a person that might be quite easy to pick up, and I thought, why don't we just pick the tallest person in the church, plus or minus? So Benjamin here has volunteered to be picked up. So I don't know where you'd like Benjamin to stand so you can pick him up. But do you want to have a go? You don't want him to lie down on the stage or anything, or jump on top of you so you can pick him up that way? No. Well, it's a bit unfair, really, because you're willing to help, but you're not really able, are you? You could probably pick me up, couldn't you? No. Okay. All right. Well, sit down. Thank you very much for being willing. That was very kind. Now, somebody else here, there's another young man who perhaps could put his hand up. Yes, Daniel. Brilliant. He was willing to have a go as well. And we're about to find out whether he's both willing and able. So, in your own time, and by the way, children, you may have to duck at a certain point, because when they were practicing this, Benjamin did go flying across the room at great speed. So, Daniel is both willing and able, so let's see. Thank you both. You're going to remember that. But hopefully you'll also remember that it shows this difference between being willing to do something and being able to do something. For this thing, Daniel was able to do both, wasn't he? He was willing to do it and he was able to do it. It was great that Jesus wanted to help the man. It was brilliant that Jesus touched the man to say that I love you and I'm connecting with you and I want to show that I care. That was all brilliant. But was Jesus really able? The leper thought he was able. He says, you can make me clean. But would he be able to do that? And the great thing is that he was able. Jesus could help the leper. He cured the man. And as we said already, he cured him straight away. No delay. And the man went off to the temple to show that he was completely cured. It's an amazing miracle because, of course, you've got a skin disease. It's all over your skin. And everyone would be able to see it. And to get better straight away meant that it must have all healed straight away. What a great miracle to show Jesus' power. And the really good thing is that Jesus is able to help us. It's great that Jesus loves us, but it's even better that Jesus is able to heal us. You know, I said that our sin is like leprosy. Well, Jesus is able to heal us from the problem of our sin. The rest of the Bible tells us that he did that by touching our world because he came to live here. He lived in all the muck and bullets of our world. He lived in all the sin of our world. He lived in all the infection of our world. He lived amongst all the death of our world. And he lived in a perfect good way. And then he died on a Roman cross being executed because the Romans didn't like him much and the Jews hated him. He was killed on that cross. And as he was dying, he healed us. He took away our sin, our illness, because God punished him instead of us. And so Jesus can make us clean. So it's like we say to Jesus, are you willing to make me clean? And he touches us and says, yes, I am willing. Be clean. You're not an enemy of God anymore. You can now be a friend of God. You're not someone who will just die and then face God's judgment. You're someone who will die and go and live with me forever. You can be completely healed, completely made better. And you will want to go and show other people. And you will want to come back to worshipping God in the way that he wants. Maybe some of you this morning need to realize you've got the illness. And you need to come like this man. Children need to do it. Whatever your age, to come like this man and say, can you help me? I don't trust you like I should. I don't serve you like I should. I don't love you like I should. Can you help me? Some of you adults need to do that to say, I am a sinner. I'm unclean. But are you willing to help me? Some of you need to recognize you're ill. Some of you need to be assured that God loves you in Jesus. To be persuaded that Jesus has the power to heal you. And you need to look at the story of the leper and say, yeah, Jesus is willing to help me. And he is able to help me. And although perhaps it's a familiar story to lots of the Christians here, it's just great to be reminded of those simple things that Jesus has the voice of love. He cares for this world. He cared for you. And that Jesus has the voice of power. And that is the voice, or those are the voices, that we got to go out and tell the rest of the world. What does this community need in amongst we live in Haywards Heath and around? What do they need to hear? They need to hear the voice of love, which says Jesus loves people despite who they are and what they are. And we need to tell people that Jesus can heal people. That's what we need to say. That's what this story of the leper teaches us. So thank you so much for listening. Let's pray for God's help.